Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
Before we get into the message, I want to acknowledge some. I know we have guests here this weekend. There's a couple guests that I want to personally acknowledge, and Pastor Kurt and Sharon, they're right over here. Would you all just stand right quick, and would you all make some noise for them? I'm gonna tell you why we're gonna make some. Say hello to. Thank you guys. Thank you all. Thank you all for being here. This morning's message is their fault. I want you to know that up front, because they were instrumental in Angie and I's life of teaching us about who the person of the Holy Spirit is and giving us an opportunity to learn and develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. They have such a love for the third person of the Godhead, and when we were growing up, we grew up partly in their church. I was at another church for a first part, and then my parents saw the light, and so we changed, and so I'm super glad that y'all are here, and God is doing a work in our life and reconnecting us and helping grow our relationship to everything that God means for it to be. And so today, as we talk about the person of the Holy Spirit, I really just have a couple of goals, okay? I want you to kind of see who he is from Scripture, but I also want to demystify and de-spookify who the person of the Holy Spirit is, because there's a lot of confusion and a lot of misconception and misperception about who he is. And you need to understand this up front. When I refer to the Holy Spirit, I will almost always say he or him, because he is a person. He is not a thing or an it. You need to understand this too. He is as much God as the Father is and as the Son is. And he has been given to us as a helper to lead us and to guide us into all the truth. In fact, here's what you need to know. You only know Jesus to the extent that you know the Holy Spirit, because he is the representation of Jesus in the earth today. And I want more than anything that as we go into this and over this month, as we talk about prayer, this had to be the beginning of our conversation about prayer, because without the person of the Holy Spirit, you can't enjoy your prayer life the way God intended for you to enjoy it. You just can't. You have to have him. And so more than anything, I hope that today you have a hunger for the person of the Holy Spirit, a clarity as it comes to who he is and as it relates to who he is. And I want to say this before we get into the message, because there's a myth. There's a myth amongst listeners and services that says that the effectiveness of the message is determined by what I get out of it. And I want you to understand that isn't true. The effectiveness of the message isn't based on what you get out of it. It's based on what you put into it. So, like, here's the difference. You can leave here and say, well, I didn't get much out of it, and be a critic and like, all this stuff. And let me just tell you what that is. That is an expression of the American consumerism mindset that has weaved its way into the church, which makes it all about me. See, that's not Christianity. That's consumerism. Right. See, but what you put in will determine what you get out. Let me describe it to you this way. You can have the fanciest commercial convection oven on the market, but if you put a Swanson's frozen dinner in there, that's what you're going to get out of that amazing appliance. You see, listen, so of all the amazing, eloquent words that I'm going to use, and every weekend, I bring a message that is just, whoo, straight from heaven, awesome. You weren't supposed to laugh at that. You were supposed to amen that. If you have this amazing thing and you don't put anything in, don't be surprised that you get nothing out, right? Now, it's important, because I want you to lean in Everybody just physically lean in for just a second. Just lean in, lean in. All right, you can lean back out. I want you to lean in. I want you to listen. I want you to look for God in this message today. And then I want you to confess some of the things that you learn over your life, and then I want you to start applying it. All right? That's how you can get something out. I love it when people come up and they criticize and they have 1/100th of what you've put into it in. We live in a world full of critics, don't we? And that can get right into the church, and you can have the attitude and the posture, well, I could have done better than that. Well, go on with your bad self and do something then. Don't let me get in your way, right? Like, go ahead and do it if you can do it. But what you put in determines what you get out. Look at this verse in Acts chapter 19. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts is really a history book, a timeline of the New Testament church. This is the launching pad. This is where the church begins. And in Acts chapter 19, I want you to understand the context real quick, that the church is about 20 years in to its existence. So we as a church, we're getting ready to celebrate, year 13 and go into year 14. So they're like almost on anniversary 20. That's important. Because watch this verse in Acts chapter 19. While Apollos was at Corinth, that's where we get the book Corinthians, we'll read from there in a minute, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. That's where we get the book Ephesians from his writings there. There he found some disciples. Listen, 20 years in, Paul finds some disciples and he asks them a question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? We don't know how long ago they believed, but the church had been around 20 years, and Paul stumbles across some Christ followers and said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no. We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. They were in the New Testament church for 20 years, and there are still believers who don't know there's any such person as the Holy Spirit. Let me make an announcement to you. We're 2,000 odd years in, and there's still believers that don't know there's any such person as the Holy Spirit. It's absolutely true. They're like, Holy Spirit, what you talking about, Lillis? What do you mean? Listen, I'm asking you today to have a blank page. Don't know what you've heard. Not really interested so much right now in what you've heard. But I want you to have a blank page as we look at this. And I want to help you to understand his nature. And I'm going to have to move quick. I've entitled today's message, A Breath of Fresh Air. How many could just use a breath of fresh air? Around 800 times, this word spirit or ghost is used either in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. Old Testament word would be Hebrew. New Testament word would be Greek, but around 800 times. Honestly, I know some people, like when you use the word Holy Ghost, they kind of wig out on you a little bit because, you know, whatever that terminology. But to help you see the nature of the person of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, I want you to understand what the words mean in their original language, all right? 800 times they appear in Scripture. The first one is the Hebrew. We'll go there. It's ruach. Ruach. You kind of have to say it like you got popcorn in the back of your throat if you want to say it the right way. But this is what it means in its definition. A wind, breath, a violent exhalation, a blast of breath. See, really, we use the word spirit, but wind or breath is a better representation of the nature of who he is. Look at this verse. This is Ruach in Genesis 1:2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the spirit, the Ruach, the wind, the breath, of God was hovering over the waters. The next word is the Greek word, and it's pneuma. Pneuma means this: a current of air, blast of breath, a strong breeze. In John chapter 6, verse 63, we see this pneuma word, and here's what Jesus says: the words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit, they are breath, they are wind, they are a strong breeze, and they are life. They're not ordinary words. They're words to live by because they're God-breathed. There is a breath of fresh air attached to everything that God says and does in our life, because we have been taken out of the natural and into the spirit. This breath of fresh air is what God's best is for each and every one of us. And so what I thought it would do in order to understand him would be to look at a few characteristics of wind. And hopefully, at the end of this service, you'll want him, the Holy Spirit, more than you ever have in your entire life. Before I unlock these, let me just... one thing I pray for you every week is, God, more than anything, let the people who are in our services this weekend, let them have a moment with you. Look, it's not just about you having a moment with the person next to you. I don't necessarily want you to have a moment with me. I want you to have a moment with God. And when we say we want you to have a moment with God, we're talking about the person of the Trinity that we call the Holy Spirit. A moment, an encounter with this wind and breath of God. So let's look at a couple characteristics of wind. Number one, wind is unseen. It's some of the last words of Jesus in John chapter 14. He says this: and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, watch this, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he, the Spirit, this pneuma, he lives with you and will be in you. Listen, there is an unseen and understood, a non-understood element behind the person of God. You can't see him. We have to trust him. Secondly, the wind is unpredictable. You go to any airport, they got that orange cone. Because what's it doing? It's checking to see what the wind is doing, because they need to know what's happening with the wind. And I want to let you know something. If you are only open to the orderly, systematic side of God, you are going to cut yourself off from a blessing of the wind, the breath of fresh air that comes associated with the person of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes he makes a move and you got to go with him, and it's unpredictable. Now listen, I'm all for order, and I'm all for systems, and I love all that stuff, but sooner or later you need to understand something. This unpredictable nature of God, if you don't allow him to work in that way, God is going to wreck your life. He's going to mess up your world. He's going to rearrange your little wagon in your room and all of your nice shelving systems. Like, if you're like the control freak that's got to have everything in its place, let me just let you in on a secret. God is going to wreck your system sooner or later. He is. Why? Because if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll worship the system and not God. Worship how it's done, rather than the person doing it. This is why I believe that certain groupings of believers kind of get, become irrelevant. Because while they're busy worshiping the way God used to do it. God's moved on and changed, and the pillar of fire and smoke has moved on, and he's not doing it that way. And they're worshiping predictability instead of who God is. Instead of following him, they're staying camped up and parked out where they used to be, where they've grown to be comfortable, and they're missing out on that next thing that's fresh, that breath of fresh air that God wants to do in our life. See, he can be trusted, guys. Even though he's unpredictable at times, he can still be trusted. He can still be trusted. He's unpredictable. Do the bus and do it now. Why are we going to do that? Because we're going to help people. And he'll meet the need. Watch this verse in John chapter 3, verse 8. Jesus answered, "The wind," everybody say wind. "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Pneuma, it's unpredictable. Let me move on. Wind, thirdly, is powerful. We have just seen a tragic expression of that in Texas and at other times, where wind is powerful. But let me tell you something. I know this. I know this for a fact, that there are people in this service, there'll be people in every one of our services. Let me tell you something. You are going through something that is much larger than your human capacity. You're going through something that's bigger than you. You're going through something that's going to require more power than a self-help guide to fixing your marriage problems. You're going through something financially that requires more than your human reasoning and intellect to solve that thing. There are people in our church, it might be you that I'm talking about, you're going through something and you need the power of God, the pneuma, the breath of God to get you through. And let me just tell you something, until you yield to the power that's contained in him, you'll never get the answer that you're looking for. You'll keep on going around that merry-go-round over and over and over and over again until you say, "You know what, God, not my will, but your will be done, and you're powerful. You've got this thing. You've never failed me. You're not going to start now. I'm just going to give myself to you and let your power do your thing in my life." Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this, "But you will receive power." How many of y'all could use some power? I know you got power, but unlike AEP, God doesn't put any limits on his electric bandwidth capabilities. I mean, there's always more with him. You'll receive power. Listen, it doesn't matter if you want it. I need to tell you this. You have to have his power in your life to live the victorious Christian life. You cannot do this on your own. You want to know how Angie and I have endeavored to walk our entire life? God, we need your power. We had 4 children in 35 and a half months. You need God's power. You try to do that on your own? You are going to get steamrolled, y'all. You are going to just be a flat mark in the carpet. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You know what I say? Come on me then. That we need his power. We need his power. Charles Finney tells his experience of being comfortable with his intellectual understanding of God. And he tells his story about an encounter that he had with the person of the Holy Spirit. And listen to what he says. "Without ever having the thought in my mind that there was any such thing," we hadn't even heard if there's a Holy Spirit, "any such thing for me, without any recollection that I had ever heard the thing mentioned by any person in the world, the Holy Spirit descended upon me in a manner that seemed to go through me, body and soul. I could feel the impression like a wave of electricity going through me. Indeed, it seemed to come in waves and waves of liquid love. For I cannot express it in any other way." Listen to this last sentence. "It seemed like the very breath of God." It didn't seem like the breath of God. it was and it is the breath of God in the person of the Holy Spirit that refreshes our lives. Last one, I already told you accidentally, wind is refreshing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9, no eye has seen, nor has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Watch this. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit, his pneuma. It's just a refreshing thing. You ever been stuck in a stagnant outdoor situation in the middle of a hot summer? It's like 110,000 degrees, and you're just sweating from every place, you know, and you're just dripping wet. And it doesn't have to be long, but just a brief breeze that comes through. Doesn't it just feel like a breath of fresh air? Doesn't it just change everything in that moment? You can just put a smile on your face for just like even 30 seconds, like, wow. That's changing things. This is the person of the Holy Spirit in our life. This is who he is. Now, here would be my request for you. You ready? Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath of the person of the Holy Spirit, who he is and who he wants to be. How do I do that? Really quick, if you're taking notes, let me wrap it up. Let go of fears and misperceptions. Let go of those. Listen, maybe you were in a setting where the person of the Holy Spirit came in a package that you just weren't comfortable with. Don't pigeonhole who God is because of the packaging that someone put on that particular expression. In other words, don't throw out who the person is of the Holy Spirit because you had a bad experience. Second, go all in. Not just on this topic, on every topic. Can I tell you a pastoral frustration? Got mixed emotions on that. Some of you went. Move on, dude. A pastoral frustration is that oftentimes the believers don't see the fullest expression of what God wants to do because they don't give God the fullest expression of that principle from the Word. We don't go all in. Listen, if you don't go all in, he won't turn all out. If you don't go all in, then you're robbing yourself of a blessing. There's just some things that you won't receive from God until you just go all in. You're just full on with him. Like reckless abandon, I don't care what happens next, I am going all in. See, listen. You don't want me just halfway in, do you? You don't want me halfway in? Y'all okay if I just pray half-heartedly for you? Are you okay if I just half-heartedly prepare in advance? Just half-heartedly think about, if we pay half the bills, that's okay. If we just build half the building, that's all right. If we just love half of you, that's doing pretty good. Watch and see what happens if you give God the rest of this year and you just go flat all in. All in. All in. Just all in. God, do whatever you want to do. Let your power move the way he wants to move. Let me have that refreshing breath of fresh air. Do your unpredictable thing in my life. Just do whatever you want to do. I'm just going all in. The last months of this year, I'm going all in. I'm going to pray like I've never prayed before. I'm going to love like I've never loved before. I'm going to lead like I've never led before. I'm going to laugh like I've never laughed before. I'm just going all in and saying, God, I'm all in. I'm all in for you. I'm pushing all the chips in. I'm cashing everything in. And if we fail, then we're going to fail together. But I'm going all in. No backup plan. Just all in. Look, if you do this, it'll work. Watch. Jeremiah
29:13. You will seek me and find me. Watch, it's a condition. This is conditional. When you seek me with all your heart. You want to know why you're not finding him? You're going halfway. Listen to me. Half of God's good, but all of God is better. And I'm talking to the 9 a.m. crowd right now because I know who I'm talking about. All in. You want more? Then whole heart. Do I really want to say that? Some of you are halfway with your desires, with your willingness to serve. Oh man, I'm not gonna look at nobody. Some of y'all have gotten crabby and angry and mean and just crotchety over the idea of serving. Some of y'all have the attitude of, I've done my time. I've been in this thing a long time, son. I've been doing this longer than you've been. I've been doing this when someone was changing your diapers. Look, you still got breath in your body. Stay after it. Be all in. Be all in. Be all in. Here's an idea. Help someone who's still got their spiritual diapers on and help me change those diapers. There's more crap in this church to deal with than I can handle on my own. I need help. Thank God I got the person of the Holy Spirit. But what about you being all in? When's the last time you had a spiritual baby wipe in your hand? And it wasn't using it on you. Thank you for enthusiasm. I'm asking you to take this next season, this fall, and go all in. Next week, we're starting a 21-day prayer journey. I want this to be a catalyst. We're going to do 21 days of prayer as a church, starting the 10th. Every Wednesday and every Saturday, those three Wednesdays and those three Saturdays, I'm going to lead us in corporate prayer. And I'm asking you to be all in. This is a step to knowing the person of the Holy Spirit, because here's the last point that I want to make. How do we do this? We develop an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says this, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. It's the benediction. It's the last verse. It's the closing prayer that Paul prays over the Corinthians. He says, God the Father loves me. God the Son saves me. And God the Spirit is the one who's with me. An intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. God paid a tremendous price when he sent his son. He loves us that much. You can always tell the value that someone places on something by the price they're willing to pay for that thing. And God paid a high price to love us and sent us his son. Listen, I love y'all. I love y'all. Like, I hope you don't think this is arrogant, but I like to think of myself in the top 10 people who love you. As much as I think about you and pray for you, you'd be doing really well if you've got 10 people that love you more than I do. I really love you. I don't love you enough to give you one of my sons. And I got two. I got one to spare. I don't love you enough to give you either one of them. To know you better. But this is what God did for us. And how do we know him better? By honoring the sacrifice that was made by the Son so that we could have an intimate friendship with the person of the Holy Spirit. When we ignore the person of the Holy Spirit, we ignore the sacrifice and its depth that Jesus made for us, and we ignore the love that God the Father gave to us. If you give me these next 3 weeks, as we talk about prayer, and we have to have a conversation about who the Holy Spirit is, to have this prayer life, I believe that you'll develop a relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit that will radically and forever change your life. No matter how long you've been in this thing, there's always a deeper friendship with the person of the Holy Spirit that you can develop. And I want to help you. I want to walk with you through this. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Lord, I just thank you for every person. I thank you for this church. I thank you for every person present. That you, by your Spirit, the pneuma of God, are giving us a breath of fresh air right here, right now, in this moment, doing what only you can do to stir up our hunger and our desire for more of your presence and your power in our life. With heads bowed and eyes closed real quick, I want to give you a chance to kind of express a response by saying, asking two things, and you can respond to both at the same time. You need to come up, you need to have a breath of fresh air. And secondly, you understand and you're saying, Josh, I'm going to take this challenge for the rest of the year. I'm going all in. I'm leaving nothing in reserve between God and I. I'm going all in. I need a breath of fresh air. And in response, I'm going to go all in. If that's you in this place, all over the place right now, just throw your hand up in the air and say, that's me. I need a breath of fresh air. I'm going all in. I'm going all in. I haven't been all in, but I'm going all in. Come on, put him up if that's you right now. Put him up, put him up, put him up, put him up, put him up. Father, I thank you for breathing your presence afresh over each and every person, open and receptive now, in Jesus' name. And God, do your thing in our life. We're all in. We're going all in. We're staying all in. And we just give you thanks for this. So much more. It's in Jesus' name we pray. If you agree with that, let me hear you shout amen. Amen. Stand up on your feet with me. Y'all glad you came to God's house today.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.